us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We overcome. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, a great commander, you conquered death forever. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Yes, our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire.
How do we say thank you to those who gave everything? How do we honor the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom? We say thank you by remembering. Today, we honor our heroes. Lives given, not in vain, but with purpose. We stand grateful for their courage, their strength, and their resolve. For the fabric of America is stitched together by the thread of the brave. Today, we remember and we will never forget.
Welcome to Haven Community Church. We want to worship the Lord today, and we are grateful for this Memorial Day holiday weekend, but we also want to recognize that soldiers, men and women, gave their lives so that we can worship freely. So since they did that, let us just worship God freely with the best that we have. Let's stand up.
You are the only king forever. forevermore. You are
that was not taught. In the darkest night, it still goes on. The anthem of my God within my heart is a treasure that cannot be bought. When all else is faded, it will not. The presence of my God, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. No one beside you, Lord. Honor and praise are yours. Before your throne, in the mystery that can't be known, lives a majesty that's yours alone. How glorious you are, you're the one who redeems the wrong that I have. Days to come, how glorious you are, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. No one beside you, Lord. No one beside you, Lord.
Amen, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? All right. God, we just thank you for just who you are and just two songs about your name. So, God, just we know that at the end of time, at the end of it all, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So, God, let us start now. Let's just start praising you and thanking you for that name that all hell shudders, that just when there's not a way, you make a way. So, God, just be here with us today and just... I just believe that you have a calling on many, on everybody's life who's here in the sound of my voice. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just make that even clearer so that many can know you and just experience through the power of your Holy Spirit, your presence here today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. At this time, somebody near you say happy Memorial Day weekend, and our kids can go ahead and head.
That I can't believe it, but I do have to tell you one thing before you leave today. Check out Jack's shoes. I just had a moment when I saw them. They're nice, Jack. I like those. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for our vets. We love you. My husband watched me watch one of those war movies the other night, and my heart was just ripped out. I mean, ripped out, so thank you. I mean, just thank you so much for all that you do. And I have a couple prayers I want to lift first, and then I've got some praises we're going to lift. Donna's mom, Jan, is in the hospital and still in ICU. Okay. She's very fragile, and we want to lift her in prayer and keep Donna and Bill in our prayers. Also, Carol Hansen... Pete Slosh, I think it's her neighbor. He has some heart damage. He is also in ICU, and we want to continue to lift him in prayer. And praises, Allie's team won state soccer championship. And you know me, I brag about my grandbabies. My granddaughter, Madison, was in the all-county track meet whatever day it was the hot day for 3 hours, and she made the all-county record for the 100-yard dash for women or girls at 12.5 or something. And for me, I guess that's really good because she was excited. So anyway, and she's not here today, so she'll never even know I did this. Ha! Huh. Anyway, she'll get me. She will get me. Also, we have some guests here today. I'm just real excited to see some faces I haven't seen for a while, and I'm welcome back, and I'm just... happy to have you here at Haven in this wonderful church. Also, on the table outside, we had our caregivers meeting. It was amazing. We learned a lot about the caregivers in Cecil County and what's available for them. So on your way out, there's tons of freebies. Help yourself. If we run out, I can get more. So there was a lot of good information. If you or someone you know is caring for someone, there are a lot of resources in Cecil County. So be sure to grab those on your way out. I am going to put one plug in for All Hands on Deck on baptism because we are up to 18. Is that not exciting? And not everybody's registered, so that is exciting. But I'm going to ask my host team and anybody who wants to volunteer to help. We set up the chairs, the tables, and the food. So on that day after church, if you would just hang out with us for a while, I could use your hands. Did anybody pay it forward? Show me your hands. Anybody? Two? Three? You guys didn't pay it forward? It's never going to get back to me. Holy moly. Well, this week I challenge you again. Pay it forward, because you got holiday picnics, you got graduation, and I'm guaranteeing every one of you is going to see somebody in your family you haven't seen for a while. Pay it forward. Give them that hug. Lift them up, okay? Promise? I got one promise. It's all good. And a shout out to all my girls online, all my guys online. I know you're out there listening, and I forgot you the last couple of weeks. I'm really slacking. You know how it is. Go on a cruise, and I lost my brain in the ocean, so. And I'll never be back. But anyway, we are going to pray. And what do when we pray here? We put our hands on our knees because we're giving it to God. Hey, how are you? Sorry, I just saw somebody else that's back. We're going to give it to God. Whatever you woke up with this morning on your heart, whether it was your finances or the fact you got to make 50 pounds of potato salad for the picnic, whatever it is, give it to God. Let him be the touch that gives you the love and the joy of all the things that you do every day. Because without God, we don't have. With God, we have everything. If you're hurting inside, talk to him. Especially if you're hurting inside, don't ever hesitate. Pick up that hotline to God and talk to him, okay? He's there for you. And now I want you to lift your hands, because you know what he gives us? Love, grace, mercy, all that list of things that we don't really deserve, and he just keeps giving it to us. So today, think about all the wonderful gifts God has given you and all the graces he has given you and the love, and enjoy them. Put joy in your heart for Jesus, because he is the way. And today I want to lift Pastor Jack, if he can get past his shoes and give us a message, because I can't get over his shoes, I'm sorry. Reach out to somebody this week and pay it forward. And all of our graduates, I want to lift you in prayer and congratulations. And I know that you're going to do well and you're going to have beautiful weather for all your graduation ceremonies. All these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if I forgot somebody, I'm sorry.
Hey. You did it. From kindergarten until now. Muscling your way through every hard moment, climbing your way up all the mountains that looked too high. You've got a lot to be proud of. You were asked for some inner strength along the way and steady character in challenging circumstances. So here you are, leaving your senior year behind, at the edge of new beginnings. A step toward fulfilling new dreams. So as you go, keep a few things in mind. Don't let others get the best of you. You control your emotions, not other people. Life is about more than making money. It's about making memories. It's about making God famous. And don't forget to call your parents. They worry about you. And remember, you are a treasured life. God formed you out of dust for such a time as this. He lights a path for you and holds you in his hands. May you follow the path God has set before you. May doors be opened before you and roadblocks disappear. And may you always be reminded that nothing is impossible with God.
this over. There's one. There's the other one. All right, so. I just bought them. I didn't make them, but anyway, so I guess it took off the attention from the shirt anyway, but it's kind of scary. Nobody said anything about me wearing the shirt today, so I guess I dress really interesting, I guess. Good to see everyone today. You doing well? Yep. Loving the weather? Yeah. All right, God's good. So a couple things that I do want to touch on here. We got a couple of these announcements. Melinda, would you go ahead and hit those up there for us? Again, baby bottle drive, that's for Cecil County Pregnancy Center, and there's baby bottles out there. You just take one, you fill it up with change or checks or whatever you want to do, and kids, if you don't know what a check is, just talk to somebody. It's like Cash App and paper. But then you go ahead and we bring them back on the 18th, which is Father's Day. So we have that one. The next one, again, you remember when we had, some of you might remember when we had the goats and the chickens out here, correct? Go ahead, you can still donate online. We have those. And again, you can look at it. It tells you how much those cost. Get together with a couple people and you can go ahead and that, there's goats, there's chickens, there are all kinds of things that can just generationally impact somebody. So if you ever say, hey, I want to give, but I want to give to generationally impact someone, it's a great opportunity to go ahead and do that. And Joanna also mentioned, that's awesome. What do we have, 18 now already? All right, that's great, but I want more. All right, we want more. So there's the Lord wants more. So June 11th, and you don't have to go to eat anywhere because we're going to feed you right here. So we want to go ahead, but go ahead and register online. Again, I want to say this. I don't care whether Haven's their church. I don't care where they live in the state of Maryland, Delaware, or whatever. What I care about is that they have a relationship with Jesus. They want to go ahead and be baptized. So if you want to do that, connect. You can go to connections@havencc.org or make that connection and go ahead and register online, havencc.org, or again, the app that is a QR code in front of you. We'd love to go ahead. We had a great time last year. I think last year was, 25 or so? And so we want to go ahead and just do this because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus, but you get a really cool t-shirt and some other kind of stuff there, and you get to eat really good food. So, hey, why not? Why not? And for those of you who aren't getting baptized, just come and stay. We'd love for you to be part of it. Baptism is always done in community because it's the body of Christ, and that's what we want to do. All right? Okay, so that's a couple of those things. How are you? Everybody doing well? Wow. Awesome, awesome. We are in our last week of the series called I Doubt It, and we've been talking about how that there are times in the Christian faith that people have doubts. Just real quick, anybody ever had a doubt about anything? Okay, good. So we kind of doubt things. Now, sadly, one of the things in Christianity is that a lot of times we don't allow for doubts. I'd say if I asked for hands to be raised again, if I said, how many of you had a doubt, and when you lifted it up, somebody said, oh, you just don't have enough faith, or you just got to believe, and just that kind of stuff. So it just push it a different way, and sometimes we don't know how to deal with that, and these things stick there. And what we've done in this series is we looked at some people leave Christianity because they don't have the opportunity to go ahead and ask those questions, and so we've been kind of addressing some of that. We talked about that poor guy because he doubted, known as Doubting Thomas, and the funny thing about Thomas is I don't blame him. If I saw Jesus go through a Roman crucifixion, I saw him thrown in a tomb, and my friends were locked away, I think that there was a gas leak or something in there. You know what I mean? I'd wonder what's going on in there. And he said, unless I put my finger in his nail holes, in his hands, in his side, then I won't believe it. And Jesus popped in and said, hey, Thomas, here I am. And he never did that. But we learned that Thomas was one who went further than any of the disciples. And he died a martyr's death. So it's pretty, if anything, he's faithful Thomas. We talked about Simon Peter walking on the water and things like that. We talked about doubting ourselves, right? And some of us. And that was when we said we are nothing but dust. Remember that one? I heard a lot of people were calling each other but dust, so that's interesting. So we did that. We dealt with that that week. And then we shared some other things about, you know, doubting God, just in doubting him. And today we're going to wrap it up today with, I doubt he's still around. And so I want to ask you a question. Why would a loving God, a powerful God, an all-knowing God, allow this world to happen? Right? You see things time and time. How many have ever wondered that? Like, God, where are you in the midst of all this messiness? I wonder it all the time. I had to quit watching news because I was watching, I was wondering all the time. So why would a loving God allow these horrific things to happen? You know, like, we see the things on the news and we think it's horrific, but we don't even see half of what's going on. I challenge you to go ahead and look up some of the worst genocide and wars going on right now, and I will tell you most of those you haven't heard of. It's eye-opening. And so as we're going to explore some of this today, and I want you to just realize and recognize that that Jesus experienced pretty bad things. And so we need to look at that. And I'm going to start there. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, excuse me. And it's Jesus' crucifixion. And here's what it says. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land, and about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Greek word here for cried out, you know what it means? Scream. It means to scream. What are some reasons why you scream? In pain? Scared? Whatever else? So we know from the crucifixion that Jesus was in intense pain. And at this point, Jesus, what is he screaming out? My God, why have you forsaken me? Screaming it to the top of his lungs. Screaming it at that moment. And when you look at this, forsaken means to be rejected, to be deserted, to be abandoned. Jesus was on the cross, and because he took sin, all the stuff that gears us off of what God intends for us, he had to take that all on him. God is good all the time, right? And all the time God is? Okay, right. God is good all the time. We have that. So God and sin cannot be in the same place because it's contrary to the nature of God. That's why the scripture says the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin, because God can't be in that same part. What Jesus did, he came, suffered on the cross so much that he went, my God, why have you forsaken me? Screamed it. Because for the first time in his entire existence, his godly nature had to be separated, so he took on all of sin. And a lot of that is something that we miss in the scripture and in the understanding of the Christian faith. Jesus was abandoned all alone on the cross. Now let that sink in for a little bit, because Jesus understood what it was like to be abandoned. In his last day before he was crucified, he was abandoned by everyone. Now sometimes, how many of you ever had somebody abandon you in your life? If we're honest, we've abandoned people before. Remember, we kind of talked about hypocrisy and how, meaning that we put on different masks, and now we've all had hypocrites where people say one thing and do something else, and then all of a sudden we said, well, we're a hypocrite too, because we've done the same thing. Judas, one of his 12, and we have 2,000 plus years of Christian faith to say, oh, Judas, what a bad guy. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. You realize that. He spent a couple years with him everywhere he was. Now, John tells us he was a thief and stuff, but he believed who Jesus was. He just wanted him to take care of Rome. Judas betrays him for money. All of his 12 disciples left him, scattered. The crowds left him. Remember the crowds that were singing Hosanna? They beat him. They whipped him. They spit on him. They humiliated Jesus, and they hung him on a cross. As he was on the cross, nails in his hand, nails in his feet, bloodied and beaten, carrying our sin, being separated from God, carrying that burden of sin forever. Jesus was carrying our sin, and the Heavenly Father and he were separated for that first time. He was abandoned. And you know, everybody here, I believe, knows the pain of being abandoned, right? Or rejected, or not accepted, or not loved, or somebody who maybe early in the week was saying, oh, yeah, you're awesome, and then going away. A lot of us can relate to that in many ways. Maybe you had a spouse or a significant other who ripped your heart out and left you and left you your heart hurting. Maybe it was a parent, or maybe it was both parents that walked out on you, or maybe it's worse. Maybe they stayed and just convinced you every day you weren't worth their time. So you felt rejected and abandoned, and maybe it was a close friend. Maybe it was at workplace. It was your employer or an employee or a coworker that left you high and dry. How many of you can really relate to this whole kind of thing? It hurts, doesn't it, when you're rejected by others? But I can imagine nothing fails in comparison if you're abandoned by God. Right? I mean, we live in a point because of Jesus that no matter what we do, God never abandons us. We wander away and we turn and he's right there. But because of God's great love for us and what Jesus did, he was willing to be abandoned by God to pay for the price. That's a lot. That's a lot to take in. So it's a worse feeling when you're saying, God, where are you? Because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we feel abandoned by God. Has anybody had times in your life you feel like God has like left the building? You know, he's like Elvis, right? You know, he just took off somewhere. And God, where are you? God, why is this happening to me? God, I'm here. God, what is going on in the world? God, what's going on in my family? What's going on in my life? Why the pain? Why the struggle? God, why have you forsaken me? God, do you even care? God, do you hear me? God, where are you in the middle of my pain? Except it feels like you're increasing it. And I realize that that's exactly where some of you are today, that you feel, God, if you're real, where in the world are you? Several times in my life, I've reached to those points. One was when I was in college, and that wasn't God abandoned me. It was I went and did my own thing. You know, I was having a lot of fun, I thought, until I ended up needing God. I'm like, where are you? And he said, I'm right here. But I didn't see him, much like when we were talking a couple weeks ago about the prodigal son. The father didn't go to the far-off land to say, here I am. He waited for him to return to him and said, there I am. And he ran and met him. A lot of us want to go ahead and live in the foreign land and continue to say, where are you, God? He said, I'm back home. And a lot of us just need to return and go back home so we can experience the love of the Father. That we've gone so far away that we can't feel his embrace anymore. And then over the last several years, I've been very honest, and many of you walked through that journey with me, of lots of loss. Whether it's the death of two parents in 4 months, and then 6 months later, one of my best friends in the world. And then 6 months after that, a mentor and another spiritual father. And I could go on and on about friends, and I could go on and on about just areas that I was involved with, and just that sense of loss and that sense of attack. And in the midst of that, finding out I had something with my kidneys, it got to the point I'm like, okay, 4 to 6 months, here we go, brace for it. Anybody ready? And you're like, okay, God, where are you? Where are you, God, in this whole thing? Some of you may have experienced this when you were a kid. Some of you may experience it in teen years or college. Some of you may have experienced it in adult life, and you thought everything was wonderful, and then all of a sudden, bam, and you're like crying out to God, why have you forsaken me? Some of you can remember the tears streaming down your face. Why is this happening to me? God, where are you? Some have even come to the point, and I know it, having my own bouts with depression and things in life, the thought of, is this life even worth living another day? And the thought process is there that you just want to die. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and when we did our Hope for Mental Health several years ago, one of the tragedies of the church is that we're good. If somebody has cancer or something else, they come up and we say, oh, we're going to pray for you. Somebody says, I'm struggling with chronic depression. We go, oh, okay. You know, we don't know how to deal with that. But we're body, soul, spirit. And that, and I remember when Chris Locke came and shared with us during that time, he said, depression affects the whole entire being. There are some people who are dealing with something mental, and you know what? They don't have a sad face. Most people who are depressed have a face that they're just trying to let you know they're not. And they struggle every day trying to cover it up. And in that process, what ends up happening? They isolate themselves, and they can't show the real them because they're afraid of what people say. And they go, God, why do I feel this way? Why have you forsaken me? And people end their lives. There's nothing like feeling alone. And there's nothing like feeling alone and wondering, God, where are you? And whenever people have feelings like this, here's what can happen. They end up rejecting God. That's what we're talking about in this whole series, that we have these doubts and then we begin to reject God. And I've seen it time and time again in 27 plus years of being a pastor and ministering to people. I've seen people feel like God has abandoned me. I've heard the stories. He left me and he's rejected me. And I was close to God at one point and I just don't feel him. I don't see him. I don't experience him in any way. And they end up getting mad at God. You ever met somebody who's mad at God? Like, I mean, furious with God. Then they start doubting and then they run away from God instead of running to God. I've seen people get so angry they start cursing God. And then they get to a place and they start doubting God and they quit praying and they quit reading the Bible and quit coming to church. They quit serving. They quit giving. They just quit leaning into the things of God and quit hoping and trusting. So today, for a few moments today, what I want to do is I want you to help me with this, and I want to process and I want to learn some things, some right responses when we feel abandoned by God. And I want to learn the right way so that when we say, my God, when we feel, why have you forsaken me, that we can get to the right responses. Because there's going to be times in life. Jesus told us this, and I'm going to just reiterate it today. Guess what? In this week, you're going to have trouble. That's a Jack version. All right? And in this, in your life, you're going to have trouble. Okay? Got it? That's a happy thought for the day, right? Write that down. Hashtag, it's going to be living hell on earth, right? Yeah, way to go, preacher. You know, that kind of thing. Glad I came to church. All right, so here we go. Three right responses when you feel abandoned. First thing is to remind yourself God loves you and is with you. Two things there. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, and God is with you. Look at somebody and tell them, God loves you. Oh, you're not all cooperating. Look at somebody and tell them, God loves you. And say, God is with you. All right. Now we just need to convince ourselves. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, even on your worst day, guess what? God loves you and God is with you. God has not left you on your worst day. He is with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says this. It says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Never leave you and never forsake you. Everybody, shout never. Okay, how much is God going to leave you?
Never.
Oh, you got to do that better. How much is God going to leave you?
Never.
How much is he going to forsake you?
Never.
How many times do you want to keep doing this?
Never.
Okay, just checking. All right. Gotcha. All right. Why is that going to happen? Because God is with you, and if God is with you, even if it feels like it, you are never alone. Never, ever, ever alone. And so when in life, when you're doing ministry, in life, when you're just being with people, if you're the one believer and nobody else is, it can feel lonely at times. But we go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It's known as the Great Commission. And there's a really cool thing in here. It's a mission and it's a co-mission. You know what that means? You know what co-mission means? You have another party there. It's your mission, but it's somebody else's. It's God's, and here's what it says. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's the good part. And surely, and you airplane fans are saying, stop calling me Shirley. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you, how much?
Always.
Even to the what? End of the age. He's with you every day. Jesus is with us every single part of the day, every single time, until this world, boom, until he redoes it. So guess what? How many times in life are you alone?
Never.
There you go. You guys are catching on. I'm proud of you. It's a holiday weekend, too. All right? So he says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. You say, but I feel this thing. I feel this. And he says, hey, you go serve me. And guess what? I'm with you always till this whole thing ends. I'm with you always. And then I'm going to come, and then you're going to be with me. And then you're going to know that you're never alone. That's really cool, in case you don't know it. No matter how far you may feel away from God right now, God is with you. You may feel isolated, but God is with you. You may feel abandoned, but guess what? God is with you. You may feel lonely. Guess what? But God is with you. You may be in a position in life where it's really difficult and it's really hard right now, but guess what? Oh, you guys are getting this, all right? I know you may be confused, and life may, this is a great word, discombobulated. Isn't that one of those words that sounds like what it is? But God is with you. And you may be alone and having this, you may feel like alone and experiencing things, but because God is with you, with all that confusion and everything else, you can take your hard questions to God. Take your hard questions to God. Take them there. Take them right there. Hebrews chapter 4. Here's what we have. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. This high priest is talking about Jesus of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So look what it says here. So let us come, what? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Let's come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive what? His mercy. We will find his grace, and he will help us when we need it most. Now, here's some really cool things. Talk about the high priest. Back in the Old Testament, one day a year, a high priest would walk into the Holy of Holies where they had the Ark of the Covenant, and he'd go in with a sacrifice for first himself and then the people. Tradition tells us that he had bells around the bottom of his robe, and he also, when he went in there, had a rope tied to his foot. In case he didn't do it properly, they were dragging him out and burying him because he was going into the presence of God. And remember what I said about God and sin? God ain't going anywhere. Sin is. So he had to give a proper deal there. And you could not just go in. It was one day a year. It's celebrated by Jewish brothers and sisters called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. One day a year. You got that, and as soon as they went ahead and did the sacrifice, and the guy went, whew, I made it out, somebody was sinning, right? You know, that's how it works. And so what ends up happening in this, they'd make an illustration, and they said, our high priest understands us because he went through everything. Jesus is not shocked by anything that you do. Now, I want you right now to just think of the worst thing you've ever done. All right? I can tell by the look on your face, you're really good sinners, okay? That's good. And so when you think about that, God is not shocked you did that because Jesus understands. He goes in there. Now, before when you went into the presence of God, you read all in the Old Testament, if you went into the presence of God, they always said, if they saw the presence of God, they'd say, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Because that's what happened. In this case, it tells us that we can come how? Timidly, like, what does it say? Boldly. That means we get to walk in to the throne room of God like this. Bam, here I am, Daddy. Right? So many of us are like, oh God, I can't break it. He's just abandoned me. He's like, come on in, kick the door and say, what's up, Dad? I'm home. And he's like, you're a mess. He's like, yeah, but he hugs you and loves you through it. We got to get used to going boldly into our daddy's office, into the throne room where he says, oh, I know you're sinful. But Jesus is like, you, I paid for that. All those things, and we should be thrilled by that. So we get to go into the throne room of God, not timidly, not afraid of anything, but we go in there with bold prayers. We go in with bold questions. We go in with bold concerns. God is not intimidated by your bold questions. God is not scared of your concerns, your bold concerns that you bring before him. God is not intimidated by your hard questions or doubts. God, why did this happen? God, why did they die? God, why did they leave me? God, why am I or somebody I love suffering so much? God, why did I get accepted into that college? God, why did I go through the divorce? God, why the cancer? God, why the constant migraines? God, why is there starving children in the world? God, why are there wars? God, why is there human trafficking for innocent children? God, why the hatred? God, why the abuse? God, why the pain? God, why won't you intervene? God, I know you're powerful, I know you're loving, and I believe that you're all-knowing. So God, why don't you just show up and do something? God, why didn't you heal when you're the healer? And you got a billion more questions than I just gave you, right? God's like, bring them on. And you're going to say, I'm God. It's okay, because I got you. I got you. You can take your bold questions and concerns to God. We need to. And here's what Scripture says. Don't lose sight of this. We can go boldly in there, but when we go boldly, he's not sitting there with lightning bolts to part our heads. What is he going to give to us? We receive his mercy. Anybody ever play that game, Mercy, when you were a kid? You lock the hands up and you go, and you try to break your sister's hands off back and forth. Just to know this is what we did. We had to make fun somehow. Anyway, you go, mercy, mercy, I got to cry. You got to yell mercy. And if you had an unmerciful person, what would they do? Keep going and snap your little twig little fingers off. If they were merciful, what do? Let go. And said, haha, let's do it again. And they do it again, right? That's merciful. God is merciful. God doesn't want to see anybody perish. God doesn't want to see anybody bust hell wide open. God doesn't want to lose anyone. That's why Jesus came in the first place, because God is merciful and loving, and we don't deserve that mercy at all. You know, like when you're playing that game, Mercy, and somebody did something to you, you held on longer, didn't you? You cranked them in a little bit, like I'm going to snap it off. God's not like that. You come to him boldly, God, I'm a mess, and God, I got a billion questions. I don't like what's going on. I don't like my life right now. I don't like what's around me, but I'm going to trust in you. And he says, all right, here's mercy. Here's mercy. Guess what else you get? You get grace. You know what grace is? Undeserved favor and love. Not one person here, and you're some good-looking people. Not me, even in my nice shoes, deserves 1 ounce of God's grace. Can't do enough to earn it. I'm such a mess, I don't deserve it. But because I'm his, because I receive his mercy, and I receive his grace. And and why do I get that? Because of Jesus. And you know when I need it? You know when he gives it to me? When I need it most. When I need it most. So we can go to God with all these things in life. Take your bold questions to God, and he'll give it to you when you need it most. I thought about several times in my life where I needed to take some things boldly to God. And there have been times where I've been really angry. Anybody have a temper? Anybody have a temper? Yeah, I can go 0 to 6. I'm like a long-suffering person, but if it's just stupidity, Jack goes from 0 to 400 and like that, you know? I don't like disrespect. I don't like just nonsense, and I just like, and you know, for those of you who are 50 and above, like, you get more tired of it, don't you? Like, I knew a lady in her 80s. She said, the older I get, the bolder I get. I said, what do you say when people say? She said, I don't care. I'm old, you know? I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved her to death. She was great. But I get angry. I get confused. Anybody feel like you're doing the right thing, you're heading the right thing, and what the heck? You're confused. Anybody frustrated? If you're not frustrated, you're not alive right now, you know, just to let you know. Anybody annoyed? Ride down the road and try to be in the fast lane. Better yet, if you're too slow, get out of the fast lane, please, because you're annoying me, all right? And there's so many things. God, why did this happen? God, why did that happen? And I've taken hard questions to God over the last, more than ever, I think, over the last maybe, I can't do math, maybe the last 8 years. Like one of my good friends for 30 years who did a mud run with him, Donnie, two or three weeks before, and then 2 weeks later, he went for a run that night, and they found him in his yard the next morning. God, why did Donnie die in his 40s? God, why did Danny, who many of you knew, who loved you and worked hard, who trusted you in rough times, why did he die just a few months before retirement? God, why do I have kidney disease? God, why does my kid do that? Must be your mother's side. Right? Why, God? Why are they saying that about me? Anybody got that one? God, why do they act that way? And sometimes I'm like, God, I don't want to. I was talking to my counselor one time. She says, well, what does Jesus say about that? I said, I don't know. I'm not talking to him. I'm pretty mad. You know? Anybody been there? Yeah. And the last thing you want is somebody coming up, well, I was reading scripture for you today. I'm like, you take that scripture and you know what? And so you get to these points, and I've taken those hard questions to God, and there have been times where God has just given me complete clarity. Bam. Oh, that's why. Sorry, God. I'll be leaving. You know, that kind of thing. And he's spoken to me and just kind of said, bam, that's what happened. But most of the time when I need answers, God. I boldly want to know this. I've been praying about this. And most of the time when I take them, you know what he does? He says, Jack, here's some mercy. Jack, here's some grace. I'm not going to smote you right now because I got mercy and grace. And then he says, Jack, I know you're weak. I know you're beat down. I'm going to give you some strength. I'm going to give you some strength. Jack, I know it's hard, but he meets me right where I am. He gives me grace and mercy and peace and strength, and I'm able to make it another day because God always shows up. You know why he shows up? Because he's with me. We take our bold questions to God. Why? Because he's with us. And because God is with you, here's an important thing to hear. This season is a part of your life and a part of your story, not the whole story. It's a chapter. Jesus was abandoned on the cross. Remember, we started that. But it was just part of a story. Most of us know the rest of the story, right? Jesus dies. He laid into a tomb. And on the third day, what happened? He rose from the dead. And so you know what that is? There was purpose in his pain. Without the crucifixion, without the abandonment of God and the taking on of sin, there's no resurrection, or probably no resurrection, but there's if it wasn't for him taking all that on, there's definitely no hope for you and me. And so that was just part of the story. My God, why have you forsaken me? 1 Corinthians describes it well, and how we can know. It tells us this, and you guys have heard this at weddings. And many people don't have a clue what we're talking about, but we just keep throwing out chapter 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in what? Part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Right now on earth. You ever just like go through life and sometimes just say, do I have a clue what's going on anywhere? You know why? Because you're just seeing a little part of it. Like a little smeared up mirror kind of stuff with it. It's like when you get out of the shower and it's all fogged up and you're trying to fix your hair and you're like, and it's like, it looks good. And then you go outside, you're like, oh my gosh, right? Because you see clearly out there. What I want to say this is right now you may be going through something very, very, very difficult. But it's a chapter in the book of your life. It's not the whole story. God is writing your story and he's writing it with you. Until the day he calls you home. Don't let this chapter in your life define the rest of your life. One of the bad things is some people get so caught in the writing of the chapter that is so bad that they make choices that send them down a path that changes the whole rest of the story. And then people start feeling, well, God can't possibly love me, or I've gone too far and I've done that, and they feel like there's no way back, but they forget who the author is. So if you've gone down a path and you let something in your life take you down a path that was opposed from God's life, he loves to rewrite the story that you're headed to and say, I'm going to get you back to where I thought you should be. Amen. God is with you and he works all things to good. I know in my life, as I look back at painful and challenging seasons, there have been times where I've been deeply hurt. I look back at the moments where I just felt like, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. And I can't see through my pain and hurt. It's like all just like a fog. But it's amazing as you get distance from that. Like you get some years past it, 10 years or so later, 20 years later, you start to go, oh, okay, I get it. And you realize that it's just a chapter of the book. Number two, we need to turn why God into what God. Turn why God into what God. Whenever you're facing a difficult chapter in your life, don't get stuck in the why God, in the why questions. Ask God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to teach me? Hebrews chapter 5 says this. It says something very interesting about Jesus. It says, even though Jesus was God's son, he did what? He learned obedience from the things he suffered. Jesus learned obedience from his pain. He screamed, why have you forsaken me? He went, why God? But Jesus stayed on the cross because of the what, not the why. And I'm gonna explain that to you a little bit. So we got to turn those why questions into what questions, because if we don't, if we stay in the why, we'll start to question God's character. We'll start to question his goodness. We'll start to question his love. We'll question his promises. Why God is part of it, but we can't get stuck there. We can't get stuck there. Because whenever you turn why God into what God, you start leaning into God more. When you say why, you're leaning back and wondering what's going on here. What's going on? This isn't what I think you should be. And we go through all this stuff. So Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church. Anybody's heard of Rick Warren? Pray for him. He's really going through a lot with like a neurological thing. And this is a man who is probably America's pastor from like in the 80s and the 90s, just really involved. Many know the tragedy in several years ago where their son who dealt with severe depression committed suicide. And what he said, pain is a warning signal or a warning light. Like, for instance, when you have a check engine light and it comes on, you just say, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to ignore it for a while. And you go, what's going to happen if you keep ignoring it? You're going to break down on the road. And he said, that's what pain does to it. Pain tells us, wow, we need a warning about something here. Something's not right. And so we got to ask God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to teach me? And so there's a great biblical example of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul he was amazing in many ways that he did. And we looked at him like, oh my gosh, one of the greatest ever. But Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was, but we do know one thing, that he pleaded with God to remove it 3 times. God, I don't know why I've experienced a thorn in my flesh. Please, God, please remove it. Please, God, go ahead. God, I'm dealing with it again. I'm praying to you. Will you please remove it? God, come on. Didn't you hear me? Paul tells us that. Paul could have easily at that moment gone, why, God? Why, God? And he could have easily rejected and abandoned. Easily. In 2 Corinthians, look at Paul's response. He said he was given a thorn in his flesh. He pleaded with God 3 times. And then he says, because of these surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan. Paul asked God 3 times. God removed the thorn. God, the thorn's still here. God, it's me, Paul, remove it, please. But you notice he didn't ask 300 times. He didn't ask 3,000 times. You know why? Because he turned the why God into what God. Why? I don't know. But he knew that it kept him from being conceited. One of the things that we see is bad days can reveal what's going on inside of us. Bad days can reveal where our faith may be weak, where we're struggling, and it can hamper us from becoming who God wants us to be. So on bad days, weeks, months, years, lives, whatever it may be, what we learn? We learn to work through and pray and connect to God in the midst of that. And so not to get overcome or clouded or distracted by the whys, but to say, God, what do you want me to do with this? God, what do you want to do in me? God, what are you trying to teach? And just like Paul, God, I don't want to miss out on something that you need to refine in me. And just like Paul, God may be working in your life and to use a pain to deal with. Maybe you have an issue with pride. Maybe you have an issue with lying. Maybe you have an issue with greed. Maybe you have an issue with insignificance. Maybe there's some other blind spot in your life and God's saying, and you're saying, God, why don't you remove this? And he says, because I want to show you something about yourself. God, what do you want to do through me is another thing. When God is wanting to do something powerful in your life, we're going to encounter some pain. We're going to encounter some hurt. We're going to encounter some trouble. We're going to encounter some trials. We're going to encounter confusion. I know every stinking, messed up, horrible thing I've ever been through, God has taught me something. God doesn't cause these situations, but he will use it. And think about on Jesus' worst day, crucified, rejected, abandoned. There was purpose in the pain, and God did something really cool through Jesus. What'd he do? He brought atonement for sin. He brought redemption. He brought forgiveness of sins. He brought reconciliation. He defeated the powers of darkness. He gave us salvation. He gave us an example of what it means to give self-sacrifice. And the accomplishment was that he demonstrated God's love for us. So we ever have to wonder if God loves us, look at the cross. And look what Jesus went through. And he also brought justification. You know what that means? Makes us just as if I'd never sinned. Jesus did all that on his worst day. So when you're in your worst day this week, get ready. God's going to do something really cool. There was purpose in the pain. Hebrews tells us this. We fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured a cross, scorning its shame, and sat down the right hand of God. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if you can, take this cup from me. He didn't want to go like, yay, I'm going to the cross. That's not what it means about joy. It was the what that he knew. All those things, and I just gave you a short list of what God accomplished through Jesus' pain and suffering on the cross, stood much greater than the why he was going through this. You hear me? Are you like ready for hot dogs, right? You know what I mean? Because I know we have doubts, and that's okay. I know we feel abandoned, and that's okay. But he's never going to leave us and never forsake us. Think about Paul with a thorn in his flesh. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He started churches. He raised up a powerful leaders like Timothy. All because God used the thorn in his flesh. And he pleaded 3 times, and then he went on to say, and here it is, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. The key point is God may not cause our greatest pain, but God will use our greatest pain as a launching pad for our greatest ministry. Someone once said, greatest ministry comes from your greatest misery. And I was thinking about this week, and because this is like one of those hard teachings, because if you're like me, there's been times in my life where I felt abandoned by God. And I was just thinking about different people in their lives who've had incredible ministries because of a suffering point in their life. And the one I come back to is my dad, who at the age of 10 was in an accident where he was pronounced dead on arrival. But I can't tell a story. I want him to tell.
When I was 10 years old, my family was in an accident that left me hospitalized for the better part of the next 3 years, and left me with a right leg that was 4 inches shorter than the other, and a fused right hip, things that would probably never happen today. But from the age of 13 on, I have had to live with a built-in handicap. And I always thought that God's grace getting me out of that hospital, allowing me to walk, and allowing me specifically to go into the ministry and serve for 43 years was the evidence of God's grace overcoming that tragic accident that took place. Now I come to the end of the road when I thought I would be able to continue doing the things I love, which is preaching and teaching and counseling, and now we've had this issue. It was a fistula to start with in 2011. Then in 2012, it was a spinal stenosis. Then now in 2013, it's a routine knee replacement that has been anything but routine. I understand that I'm one of 1% of the people who have a routine knee replacement that goes into the type of infection I'm battling right now. There are days when I want to shake my fist in heaven and say, what the heck is going on? Who's lost control up there? Because naturally, in my thinking, somebody who loves the Lord and loves people should not have to go down this road. But I have been at the bedsides of people that had no more reason to suffer than I have. And some of them are not here anymore. I have questions about teenagers who were killed in automobile accidents. I have questions about a 34-year-old woman who had couple of children at home who died of cancer after months and months of our prayers for healing. I've got a long list of things to get answers to someday, and maybe mine's just going to be a small part of that. There is nothing in the teachings of Jesus. There's nothing in the teachings of Paul or any of the other great leaders of the Christian movement that says when you become a believer in Jesus, when you become a follower of God, that you're going to be automatically excluded from the things that are in this world, from Joshua. And Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise I'm standing on. Mm-hmm. And like Job said, though he slay me, I'm gonna love him and I'm gonna trust him right to the last breath. I told this young woman when I visited her at Johns Hopkins, the doctor had just walked out and told her that they had done everything they could for her. It was now up to God. She's 34 years old, married, two young children, and I said, Betty, I don't know what the answer for you is, but you've got two choices. You can either rail your, you know, in the face of God, why do you allow this to happen? I hate you, this and that and the other. Or you can say, by faith, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm in the middle of this. I don't know what your purpose and plan is. But by God, I'm going to hang on till the last breath because I've got nowhere else to go. And she told me later, she said, I'm so glad that's what you said to me. Because the following weekend, so I'm led to understand, she called her family in and told them each one goodbye. And she said, don't be afraid and don't be fearful because God and I've worked out a plan for my future and I believe he has a plan for yours as well. You hear it spoken. Person of faith is someone who, when he comes, or she comes to the end of their rope, they tie a knot and hang on.
You know how awesome that is to hear him say that? Man, I was thinking when I videoed that, he was alive for 8 more years. And he went through some of the roughest suffering, even to the point of his last when he lost the ability to speak and to talk. Yet, even in the midst of that, we were listening to his testimony in Christiana Hospital. And he was speaking to people then. Because your greatest misery can become your greatest ministry. Don't forget that. Number three. Do you like that transition? Number three. When you can't trace God's hand, trust God's heart. When you're going through the worst and toughest days, remember that Jesus is not powerless. He has so much power. On his worst day, nailed to the cross, he could have called to his Father. He could have called to the angels. He could have said, I'm done with this, and gotten off the cross anytime because he had that kind of power. Yet he stayed on the cross and trusted and was obedient to his Father's ultimate plan. He trusted in God. And how do we know that? Because, yes, he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it said he breathed his, before that. But then it tells us in Luke chapter 23 that after he did that, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said that, he breathed his last. Did you see what happened there? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he didn't stay there. And he said, hey, I don't know where you've gone, but here's my spirit. And gave it up. He trusted his Father. And that's the hardest thing we have to do. We have to trust our lives and everything into the hands of the Father who loves us so much. His why God moment was not easy, but we still trust you. I don't like this God, but I'm still going to trust you. It's painful, God, but I'm still going to trust you. They're hurting me, but I'm still going to trust you. I feel so alone. But I'm still going to trust you. Whatever it is, no matter what you're going through, you can have the, I don't like this. You can say all those things because you're boldly going in, but follow it up with, but I'm going to trust you. But I'm going to trust you. There are going to be bad days, but don't let them keep you from trusting in him. And I want to encourage all of us at the sound of my voice to trust ultimately in the promises of God. One of my favorite songs from the point I was young was an old hymn called Standing on the Promises of God. I always loved it from when I was a little kid. And promises, what are you saying, Jack? Like the promises. Let's go through them. Promises like in 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to rip through these things. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to the glory of God. You say, what does that mean? What is the amen? Amen means so be it. So be it. So if you're going through trials and hurts, if you're going through struggles, if you're going through feeling abandoned, if you're going through loss, if you're going through whatever, depression, you need to say, I'm going to trust in your promises and I'm going to say amen to it. And what do I mean? Promises like Hebrews 13:5, where he says, I never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we say, amen, God, right? So be it. Then we go ahead and we go to promises like Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God, I trust you're working in all things because there's a lot of bad stuff going on here. Work in it. And so I'm going to say, amen, God, I'm going to trust you. Amen, God. So you're taking my bad stuff and you're working it for good. Promises like in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think according to the power that is at work within us. I don't know about you, but I can come up with some really good stuff that is exceeding and abundant. Anybody else with me? And God comes up with more of it. So I'm going to say to that promise, what I'm going to say? Amen, God, I'm going to trust in you again. Or Philippians chapter 4, where it says, and my God will supply some of my needs, a little of my needs. No, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if you're in need in some area, you're needed emotionally, you're needed financially, you're needed relationally, whatever it is, guess what you need to say to it? Claim it and say, amen, God, I'm trusting in you. Then what about this other one? Lamentations, because we all read that one because we want to feel so good. Lamentations, because of God's great love for us, we are not what? Consumed. Sometimes the wave of everything feels like it's consuming us. Why aren't we consumed? For his compassions, there's that word again, never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm feeling consumed. I'm not feeling like you're around here. But guess what? I'm going to say, amen, God, and I'm going to trust in you. Your character does not change on a bad day. Life is hard, but God, I'm going to trust you. Life is hard, and I'm going to trust you. Life is difficult. Amen, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it all, God. But I'm going to say amen to it, and I'm going to trust you. Have your doubts. Have your concerns, have all those things, but at the end of the day, walk boldly into the throne room of God, hold on to the promises of God, and say, amen, God, I'm putting my trust in you. All right, we good? All right, let's stand and let's just worship God on this last time here today as we celebrate who God is for us and who he calls us to be and the promises of God. We're going to during this time, if you're visiting today, we take offering during this time. If you're visening, we're not asking you to give. We want you to receive what God has. But for those of you who are giving, we just ask for blessings, God's blessing and increased abundance. You guys have been awesome in the ministries here and around the world, like in Haiti and other places. And they're doing some awesome stuff there. I'm so proud of Pastor Oog and just such a great man. But what I really want us all to do at some level is I'd like us to just look at where's our struggle? Where's our hurt? Could have been something that happened years and years and years and years ago. Could have been something that just happened this week. Whatever it is, you may have gone down a path that you feel abandoned by God. You can't find him. You're broken. You feel like you're just existing. You hear promises of God and say, yep, I'm not seeing it. Maybe because we're not saying amen. So during this time, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads with me. God, I know that your spirit is moving in the sound of, in the hearts of every person in the sound of my voice. I know you moved in me this week, and so, God, I just ask that you just continue to let us know that we're not alone. You're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. You're right there. And we're going to have bad days. In this world, you're going to have trouble. That's what Jesus said. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And how is that? Because we claim the promises of God. There may be somebody here today that needs to claim the one promise, the first promise, to say, this Jesus thing, I don't get it, how it's been everywhere else, but I know that I need something. And Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up and say, I need a Savior, and you're it. And I'm going to trust you in the bad and the good and all kinds of things, but I'm going to believe that, just as my dad was saying up there, that, you know, some, even the days that I rail and shake my fist, I'm going to just trust in you because you're all I've got. I may be tying a knot in a rope and just hanging on, but I know that you love me and you're never going to leave me. For everyone else here, you may be going through that season of a life that's not fun, that you don't like. Hear me today. It is not your life. It's not your life story. It's a chapter. And God is writing a great story and a great ending. So, Lord, I just ask that you just reach out and you just touch us where we are, because that's where you meet us. Bring healing, bring restoration, bring wholeness. To our doubts, let us have those. But, God, sometimes you're going to give us the answers, and other times you're just going to give us mercy and grace and love and strength and whatever else we need. So, God, this time I just ask that you search our hearts. If someone has felt abandoned and distant to you, at this point, God, they'll draw near to you, because the scripture says when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Let them feel the presence of the Father wrapping his arms around them. We give you the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remind me, Lord, lest I forget who you are and who you have been. A mighty God, perfect in peace, my chance.
Spirit.
Even in darkness, your truth lights a beautiful spark in this heart and soul. Be still and know that my fear's gone. Here in your presence, a new song rises to heaven. This heart and soul will be still and know that you are good. Oh, you are good. Oh, you are good to me. Oh, Lord, I will wait for you. You are good. You are good to me.
Awesome, right? And it, yeah, go ahead. You can do it. Not me. It's him. All right. Isn't it awesome just to know that God is good? God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. He loves you. He wants mercy. He wants all that stuff to give to you. All we have to do is just go boldly to him. All right. Have an awesome week. Don't eat too many hot dogs, but have a good time. Be safe out there because everybody's just a little bit out there, you know. So, but just be have a great time and God bless. Next week we're going to do some other things, but I want to tell you in 3 weeks. We're going to talk about if you had 30 days to live, what would you do? All right. Have a great week.